It is good to see everyone on this November 1st, 2020, and we are continuing our study on the life of Jesus. We began in January, and every Sunday we have found more and more and more about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're going to be in Luke chapter 11, verse 2 today, and we're in a study of the Lord's Prayer, the pattern prayer that He gave the disciples when they looked at Him, one of them, and he said, "Lord, after hearing you pray, I don't know how to pray." And so he began to tell them the way in which they should pray and the things we need to pray about and the things we need to pray for. And so we're in Luke chapter 11, verse 2. And Jesus said unto them, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.'" We studied that. You know, let me bring honor to your name today, Lord Jesus. "And then thy kingdom come." We studied that about the earthly kingdom of God here on earth in Jerusalem, Jesus coming back, but also his rule and his authority in our own hearts. And then we saw last week, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come today, we thank you for this privilege. Lord Jesus, again, I ask for forgiveness, a daily sin and weekly sin. I pray, Father, to be cleansed by your blood and anointed by your Spirit today and used of you. I must decrease, you must increase. And Father, let everybody in here know that you love them, and everybody listening on this website, that you love them. And Father, that you have a plan for their lives. Thy will be done in my life. And so, Father, as we study this today, may we grow in the concept of knowing, Lord Jesus, that it's a wonderful thing to be saved. But after we're saved, we are to live a life that pleases you. And the life that pleases you is when we're living within the parameters of your will, walking the path that you would have us walk. In your glorious name we pray, Lord Jesus. In the quietness of this moment, would you join me in this prayer? Heavenly Father, what do I need to hear from you today? In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. All right. Luke chapter 11, verse 2, he says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth." Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And the great qualifier of this verse is the phrase, "as it is in heaven." And so I shared with you 2 weeks ago, there are two groups of occupants in heaven, the angels and the saints. Now, the angels are the true angels and the followers of God, because the rebellious angels, the created beings, they got kicked out of heaven with Satan. These are the angels that follow and obey God 150%. And then the second group that's in heaven are the saints, those that have gone on before us. They have left behind their bodies. These bodies, this carnal nature, this fallen nature, this sinful nature, we leave this behind. The Apostle Paul calls it the body of this death. "I see within my body the sinful nature warring against my spirit." And so we leave that behind. We get to heaven. Our spirits, they're clothed with the heavenly. I don't know exactly what that is, but we are clothed with the heavenly. And we have an entity about us that is incapable of sinning. So, Lehman, when I die, I'm never going to sin again. And that's a good thing. So, how is the will of God carried out in heaven by the angels and the saints? And so, we looked at that last week. There are three ways the will of God is done. It's done perfectly, it's done completely, and it's done willingly. And I'll tell you one thing, I have not lived out the will of God perfectly in my life. I've not lived out the will of God completely in my life. And I've not always lived out the will of God willingly in my life. But I praise God, there's a day coming when I'm going to do that. And that's my goal, and that's what I strive for. So let's look at the willingly. Go with me again to Psalm 40. Psalm 40. We're going to look at that Hebrew word again. And in Psalm 40, verse 8, the psalmist says this, and this is messianic, it's written by David. He says this, I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, your law is within my heart. Now, I want you to understand something. When I delight in something, Keith, that's an emotion, all right? And that word is chephets in the Hebrew, C-H-E-P-H-E-T-S. And in the Hebrew, it means to do something joyfully or cheerfully, or to find pleasure in doing something. So I'm doing it joyfully and cheerfully, and I'm finding pleasure in doing it. So it's my inward emotion when I'm doing it. Keith, I know you like to fish. I like to fish. When I'm fishing, I'm having a good time. I'm enjoying it. I'm looking forward to it. I don't want it to end. I want to continue doing it. So it's how you feel inwardly in a joyful and cheerful way when you are carrying out something. And then notice part B of verse 8. Yea, your law is within my heart. Now there's only two places the law of God can be. Number one, it can be on stone tablets. Or it can be written outside of us where we can see it, like over here in the building, the Ten Commandments. Or the law can be within us. So what that means is I obey God from the heart. Not because I'm forced to, but because I want to. Not because it's some rule or regulation, but because I realize it's a good thing to do and it'll make my life better to follow the law of God. So we're talking about joyfully I delight to do your will, O God. I want to do it because I know it's good, because I know it blesses me, because I know it makes my life better. And you don't have to turn there, but last time we went to John 17 where Jesus says, I am one in the Father, you are one in me. And so when we're doing the will of God joyfully and cheerfully, we are at one with God. We want this spiritual oneness and this spiritual harmony. Now, how is that achieved? We looked at it. Let me tell you the opposite of that. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. What's the opposite of doing the will of God from the heart, basically, is what this verse is going to tell you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, it says this. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, or let him do, or let him serve God, or let him go to church, or let him help others, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves, there's that word again, this time in the Greek, a cheerful, joyful, delightful giver or server. So, the opposite is when you have to do something grudgingly or of necessity. And so what we're talking about here is, Jonathan, somebody following the will of God or doing something for God because it's forced obedience or some kind of rule or some kind of regulation. I want you to understand something. I am in this pulpit today because I want to be in this pulpit today. I'm preaching the Word of God today because I love to preach the Word of God. I'm living in Wayne County today because I love to live in Wayne County. Nobody's forcing me to live in Wayne County. Nobody's forcing me to preach the Word of God. Nobody's forcing me to be in church today. But there's a lot of folks that are in church today, and you know why they're there? Because they got to be there. Because their parents told them they had to be there. Because their religion tells them they got to be there. They wake up on Sunday morning and say, man, we got to go to church today. How many times do you think people on the face of the earth have said, we got to go to church today? You know, that's not a good thing to say. You know, I'm going to tell you something. You know, I love to preach the Word of God. And before I began preaching the Word of God, when the Holy Spirit was really moving in my life, I loved hearing the Word of God preached. I would go to church because I had a pastor there in Walterboro, South Carolina, Joe Youngblood. And he would preach verse by verse. And he was coming out of the deal with Charlie Stanley and Adrian Rogers. And they were just really leading the Southern Baptist Convention back into the Word of God. And we would do studies and do what I do, series. And man, every week I couldn't wait to go and hear what I was going to hear out of the Word of God that I never saw before. And so nobody was making me go to church, or I was not going to church out of some obligation or some feeling of obligation. So there are two ways to live out the will of God in your life. To live it out from the inside or to live it out from the outside. And that's what this scripture is talking about. And when you're praying, "Thy will be done in my life here on earth," you're wanting to live it out because it's a desire that is in your heart. So go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And we looked at this last week. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, it says this: "The Lord is the Spirit that is going to be the Spirit of revelation for the nation of Israel." And that's the preceding verses. "And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty and freedom. But we all, with an open, honest face, beholding as in a glass or as in a mirror, the glory or the image of God, we will be changed into the image of God from glory to glory, by degree, by degree, by degree, even as by the Spirit of God." So, what are we talking about? If I'm going to want to have an inward desire to live the Word of God, to live the will of God joyfully and cheerfully, not being forced by my parents to do what's right, not being forced by my religion to do what's right, I need to be changed. It is a process. It's a subtle process. It's a slow process where I get alone with God and I look at Him face to face as I'm looking in a mirror. And the Holy Spirit changes me, Liz. So my part is to get along with God. His part is to change me. And so I'm not living a life where I'm saying, "God, this is my plan. I want you to bless it." Over a period of time, I'm starting to pray God's plans for my life. And I don't even realize. He's just changed me. Go to John chapter 15 and look at what the scripture says. And then people say, well, can I actually pray this verse? Does this verse really work? And in John chapter 15, verse 7, Jesus is saying this. He's saying, "If you abide in me," you know, if you spend time with me, if you converse with me, if you fellowship with me, if you commune with me, if you have your 15 minutes of quiet time every morning, and my words abide in you, if you get in the Word of God, if you have a devotional, "you shall ask what you will." There's that word again, your will. "You will ask your will, and it will be done unto you by my Father in heaven." You say, "Brother Leo, you mean I can ask anything I want and God will do it based on that verse?" Yeah. Anything you want to ask, then God will do. Because the key is, the only time this works is when you're abiding in Christ. And when you're getting alone with Christ. And when you're walking with Christ. And when your relationship with Jesus is being built up and built up. Your plans, your desires, your thoughts, the things you think you need, the things you think you want, the way you treat other people, and the things you ask for are going to be changed, and you're going to be asking for stuff that God wants you to ask for. And you're going to be making plans for your life that are no longer your plans, but they're God's plans. And as you look into that mirror, the Spirit of God is going to change you more and more from yourself into the image of God. And whether you realize it or not, you're going to be like John the Baptist. You're going to say, I am decreasing and He is increasing in my life. And the only way that happens is by spending time alone with Jesus. And that's what Paul says. You get alone with Him like you're sitting there one-on-one, like Moses met with God, a man meeting with a man face-to-face. And as you do that, you decrease and His influence increases in your life. Like Paul said in Galatians, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. It's not I that live, but it's Christ living in me and through me. And I'm going to tell you something. The more you get alone with the Lord, the more you're going to die to self and you're going to live to Christ. And so we need to understand what our role is and what the Holy Spirit's role is. All I got to do, Lehman, is give God a chance. He'll do the rest. You know, because I have people tell me all the time, you know, Bro Leo, I'd like to get saved, but this goes on in my life. And when I get that straightened out, I'm going to come get saved. Well, I want you to understand something. That person will never be saved. Because you cannot straighten yourself out. That's not your job. It's the good Lord's job to straighten us out, and I praise God. It's not my job to straighten out somebody else, and I just praise God. You know, and that's why Billy Graham and Cliff Barrows and George Bev Shea back in the day, when he was traveling all over the world, their one invitation every service was, just as I am, I come. Just as I am, I come. And the day I got saved, just as I was, I came. And every day, tomorrow morning, when I get up to meet with Jesus, I'm going to go to Him just like I am. I mean, there's no other way. If the devil's going to tell me, oh, you can't go have prayer time today because you had a bad thought about a person and you don't like them, well, that's a lie from the devil. I'm going to go meet with Jesus and I'm going to take my bad thoughts with me and I'm going to take the fact that I don't like this person with me and I'm going to let God work it out for me. That's what Paul means when he says with an open face. Just take everything you've got honestly before God, and He will work in you, and He will change you. So, my job is to get along with Jesus. If I want to do the will of God cheerfully, the Spirit's role in me living out the will of God is that He does all the work. So let's look at the Spirit's role when I'm praying, Lord Jesus, Your will be done. Go with me to Romans chapter 8. So when you're praying that prayer, when you pray the Lord's Prayer, you're making a commitment. Don't be praying, Lord, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and then go out and do whatever you want to do. And go out and live whatever way you want to live. You're praying a lie. You're making a commitment, saying, Lord, I don't want to do it my way today. I want to do it Your way. So in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, the Scripture says this. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. For we don't always know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself, if your Bible says itself, it ought to say Himself. My Bible says itself. The Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So I want you to understand something. When I get alone with the Lord, and if I'm praying for Ken, and there's something going on in his life, and I'm praying a certain way for Ken, and I'm praying incorrectly, but I'm praying that, Jerry, sincerely and honestly. I've got y'all again. I've got Jerry with an I and Jerry with a Y. Y'all are lined up. So here I go, Jerry. When I'm praying that, When I'm praying that way, I want you to understand the Holy Spirit is also praying within me, William. And He's praying in the correct way to God the Father as I'm praying. And if I keep praying for Ken day after day and week after week, the Holy Spirit is eventually going to change the way I'm praying for Ken, look at the phrase, into the way that I ought to be praying for Ken. You say, Bro Leo, that really happens? Yes, it does. And you say, Brother Leo, how in the world does that happen? It's supernatural. It is supernatural. I'm going to tell you something. There have been times I've gone in the prayer closet to pray about a certain situation in a certain way. And by the time I left the prayer closet, I was praying in a totally different way. And I have no idea how it happened, but I'm going to tell you how it happened. It was a work of God in my life, Apollos. And that's what happened. God changes you. Or there have been times, Liz, in my life, I've been praying for a certain thing about my life or Patty's life or Daniel's life, you know, back in the day and years gone by. And you pray that way for weeks and even months. But if you'll stay consistent with it, then all of a sudden I find myself, I was asking for this in the beginning. Now I'm asking God to do this. Because He will reveal to you the greater need or the real need. Because we all got to agree with Jeremiah. The human heart is totally deceitful. And so I mean, that's a true verse. Look at what it says, verse 26. The Spirit helps us in our weakness as we're praying. For there's a lot of times I go in and I say, Lord, I don't even know how to pray about this. I don't even know what I need to be praying. But hey, I'm going to get along with you, Lord. Spirit, help me, show me, teach me how to pray. Now, that's not even part of this sermon. The next verse is what we need. Verse 27, and He, the Holy Spirit, that searches the hearts, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints as you're praying according to the will of God. Now, what's going on here is, as you get alone with God and you're praying a certain way about a certain situation, the Holy Spirit is overriding what you're praying according to the will of God. You know, there have been tons of people that come up to me over the years, and they've said, you know, Brother Leo, I prayed about this situation and prayed about it and prayed about it. And you know, God has not answered my prayer. God has not answered my prayer. And a lot of times folks give up on God. The answer is you may be praying for the wrong thing. You know? And one day you might look back. You might look back and you might say, Lord Jesus, thank you so much for not answering that prayer the way I was praying. Thank you, Lord Jesus, so much for not giving me what it was I was asking for. And so as we go in, understand, you are always being molded. Look at what it says in verse 27. According to the will of God. Your prayer life is under this umbrella that is the will of God. And there are a lot of times God's trying to open it and we keep trying to close it because we are just steadfast in the way we're praying. So, we see that the Holy Spirit works in our lives to bring us within the parameters or under the umbrella according to He's making intercession for you as you pray, not according to your will, but according to the will of God. So, when you pray, Lord Jesus, Your will be done on earth and my life as it is in heaven, the Holy Spirit's being unleashed and all this stuff's going on when you start praying about certain areas. Go with me to Ephesians 5. Ton of stuff on this. And I'm not going to teach you all of it, but it's a ton of it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, we see the Spirit again. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, it says this. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, you say, Brother Leo, why in the world would Paul compare being drunk with wine to being filled with the Holy Spirit? Why is that comparison presented there? Well, it is presented there because when you're drunk with wine, you're under the influence of alcohol. And when you're filled with the Spirit, you're supposed to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. So it speaks about influence. If I'm drunk with wine, I become influenced by an outside force. I was okay, but then I started drinking it, and then the wine began influencing the way I talk, the way I act, the way I think. When I go into my prayer closet, Cleo, I'm going in with me, Leah. And as I get alone with God, I am to become more and more under the influence of the Holy Spirit, where the Spirit is influencing the things I think, the things I say, and the things I do, and the way I pray. So he says, don't be under the influence of wine, be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. But he precedes that with verse 17. What is the Spirit's role here? The Spirit will not allow you to be unwise, but the Spirit will give you understanding concerning what the will of the Lord is in your life. Be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is in your life. Now, I want you to understand for the Christian, I'm not talking about lost people. I'm talking about Christians, people who are sincerely saved, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and go to church every Sunday. Being under the influence of the Holy Spirit or living their life within the will of God is probably the most neglected action of Christians. There are a lot of folks that are going to get before the judgment seat, and they're getting in. They're saved. But the Lord's going to have to look at them and say, you never lived one day in my will. You never lived one day in my will. Your whole life was, God, here's my plan, you bless it. Your whole life was, God, this is what I want, please give it to me. So I want to give you this word here. In verse 17 it says, be ye not unwise, the Greek word, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That word understand in the Greek means to recognize. And it also means something a little deeper than that, because that's how the Greek language is. It means to come to a conclusion after putting something together. And if you're taking notes, write that out. To come to a conclusion after putting something together. Yeah, Kelly, you ever seen one of them 500-piece puzzles? Miss Patty likes to do puzzles. I don't. Patty's got a whole magazine yesterday with puzzles. She was showing me how pretty they were. And they're pretty. Now, I will say this, Jody. Miss Cole. You know, that's Miss Cole. She has done so many fabulous puzzles, and y'all have had them framed, and I mean, they're phenomenal. But when you got a puzzle, 500-piece puzzle, and you dump all those pieces out, they're all scattered about. And let's say you start working on it 2 or 3 hours a day. Well, Liz, after 4 or 5 weeks, what happens? It comes all together. And you got this beautiful picture. Alright? The reason that word's used there, that's how God's will is in your life. You might be faced with a situation tomorrow, Patty, and it may come out of left field, and you're it's like you got 500 pieces scattered there, but the Holy Spirit will guide you in putting things together where then that last piece goes in and you say, hey, oh yeah, here it is, and you see God's will for your life in this area. But it takes effort. It's not like walking in here and hitting a light switch and I know which way to go. Sometimes I don't know which way to go, but God does. And that verse tells me that He will work it out so that the Spirit's job is to work out God's will in my life so that I will recognize it and follow it. And there are going to be a lot of people that stand before the judgment seat and say, Lord, I just never knew what your will was for my life. And the Lord's going to have to say, you never sincerely sought my will for your life. And it takes some effort. But it's a great blessing. And you can work it out in every area of your life. So God's will. And Kelly, it's just like a young person. You're to know God's will with certainty, with direction, and with resolve. And you know, when it comes time to have a spouse or to date somebody or to be involved with someone, We need to know that we know that this is the person that God wants me involved with. When it comes some time to take a career or a job, you know, we can know that we know that this is the path God wants us to take. Now, as I'm saying that, there are a lot of people sitting out there, and they're saying, well, that's not how I did it. Well, that's not how I always did it. But from this day forward, you can do it that way. Well, God still blessed me. Oh, yeah. God's merciful. God's graceful. We cannot be thinking about God any more than Adam's house cat. He'll still bless us. He'll still look out for us. But what I'm saying, once we know, if we want to avoid a lot of mistakes, Apollos, it's best to be living within the will of God and seeking within the will of God. And so when I pray, your will be done in my life, Lord, completely, perfectly, and willingly, it's never too late to start. And thank God for all the situations in your life where you were outside of God's will, but He showed you grace, and He's taken care of you, and He's got you to this point today. And so the Holy Spirit is the one that will give us understanding in our life of what the will of the Lord is. Now, go with me to Romans chapter 12. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind. You know, I can remember getting my first church. I was 24 years old. My pastor told me not to take the church because I'd never pastored before. About a year previously, church secretary had embezzled a great amount of money there. It was a contentious church. Folks fought all the time. It was a very carnal church. But when I went to fill in there, I felt peace. And I just felt peace. And then it came to the point where I knew that was the church God wanted Patty and I to start at. I knew it without a doubt. And it wasn't long after I was there, you know, it was everything everybody said it was. You know, we had a man one time that was going to bring a gun to a business meeting because he was an elderly man and they were going to knock down the old church. The newer members wanted to knock down, they didn't know why we were spending money on an old building, and he'd shoot anybody because his grandparents drove the nails in the old building and all that stuff's going on. And we had other problems and other things going on. But you know why I stayed and you know why I fought those battles? Because I knew that I knew it was God's will that I was to be there. When you don't know whether it's God's will or not, you're going to get steamrolled. But man, when you know it's God's will and this is where you're to be, you're going to fight the fight. Because you know God's with you and He's strengthening you. I don't want to live outside of God's will because I would have absolutely no confidence in whatever I was doing because I would know in my heart, I wouldn't be sure whether God's helping me. You know, as a young lady or a young man, I don't want to be dating a little girl in high school or a guy in high school and think I'm out of God's will. I don't want to do anything outside of God's will. Because when you're in God's will, you've got that confidence that no matter how big the giants are, God is with you. And you can fight that battle and you can move forward. Look at what it says in Romans 12 verse 2. It says this, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove and live out what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." God wants us to live out and to experience His will. You know, I think everybody needs to be able to say, as a child of God, say, "Why are you doing this?" "Well, I'm doing this because I think this is God's will for my life at this time. I think this is God's plan for my life at this time." You know, when I got out of high school, I was going to one college. The one college I was going to was the college that would give me the most money and let me play baseball and football. Whatever college did that, that's where I was going. If there's going to be two or three colleges that were going to give me that opportunity, then it was who gave the most money. And that's how I was going to base my decision. I wasn't going to pray about it. Wasn't going to seek God. 3 days later, I came back home. You know? When I got out of college, Cleo, you know what job I was going to take? I was going to take the job that allowed me to be a sales rep where I wouldn't have to stay in an office, where I could have I wanted a company car. I wanted a salary plus commission. And I got that. Was I praying what God wanted me to do? God may have wanted me to work in an office somewhere. God may have wanted me to go in the mission field. No, and whatever one paid the most money. So that's how I basically made those decisions. And that's basically, that's how the world makes all their, that's how all the church folks make their decisions. And God's got a plan for you where He wants to bless you. But it's like that puzzle, and the only way you understand what the will of the Lord is to get alone with Him, let Him work it out in your heart, open doors, reveal things to you, and then you make the choice and you take the step. And so look what he says. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. And I just want to grab those two words there, conformed and transformed. I want you to understand in two areas of your life, you are never going to be just perfectly inert are perfectly stable. You're always going to be moving in one direction or another. The first one's physical. I want you to understand something. You're either doing good for yourself physically or you're doing bad for yourself physically. You're not just sitting still, all right? You're either working out, eating the right food, walking, doing those things, making yourself healthier, or you're not, because your body is decaying. That's how it is in fallen human nature. Our cells are dying every day. So you're either moving in one direction or another physically, and it's the same way spiritually. You're either moving toward God or you're moving away from God. You're either being conformed to the world or you're being conformed to the Lord. You're either being transformed by the Spirit or you're being transformed by the world. And so the things that you allow to influence your life, they are affecting you in one direction or another. And so that's a good way to lay things out in your life, to say, as I do this, is this drawing me closer to the Lord and keeping me in the will of God? Because I want to tell you something, dear Christian. After you've been saved, the devil cannot, and he knows it, he cannot take away from you your salvation, but he can sure enough get you out of the will of God. And I've been there. He can get you out of the will of God. You can preach in a pulpit and get out of the will of God. And it's a miserable place to be. And so that's what the devil wants. So when you're praying thy will, it is a great prayer. Go back with me to Colossians 4. I want to show you the prayer of Epaphras again. Brother Leo, I didn't know I was saying all that when I said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah, that's how most people pray the Lord's Prayer. They're not thinking about what they're saying. They're just getting through it. You know how it is. There's that verse in there that says every time you pray the Lord's Prayer, whether you're thinking about it or not, you get a gold star on your chart in heaven. Guy in the back said, really? What verse is that, Gladys? All right, Colossians chapter 4. You know, I'm a little tired today, but y'all sound like y'all been doing more than I have the last 2 weeks. All right, Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. Look at this. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Epaphras is praying for the church members at Colossae that every one of them will stand perfect and complete, that they will be totally immersed and submerged in all the will of God in every area of their life. Now, the only reason I just read that to you is I want every one of you to pray that for me every day. Now, is that not a great prayer? It's a great prayer to pray for yourself. It's a great prayer to pray for your loved ones. See how important the will of God is in the Word of God? I mean, I had to call out dozens of scriptures concerning the will of God in the New Testament just to finish up this part two so that we can move on. And how many parents talk to their children about the will of God for their lives? How many preachers are teaching church members about the will of God for their lives? God has a plan for you, and you want to be in God's plan. And so when you're praying that prayer every morning or every evening or whenever you pray the Lord's Prayer, that's what you're praying and committing to and seeking. Go with me to Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13, the Hebrew writer, and we don't know who it is. A lot of times I think it's Paul. I don't know why I think it's Paul, because everybody that knows a whole lot more than me don't think it's Paul. But I just feel like it's Paul. A lot of things that he says, the Hebrew writer says, it reminds me of Paul. You know, and Paul was a Hebrew, so if anybody could have wrote a letter to the Hebrews about moving on out of the Old Testament law, it was Paul. But anyway, most commentators don't think so. Hebrews 13 verse 20 says this. And this is his close now. He's closing out. This is the benediction to the letter. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect or complete in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. You know what pleases God, Terry? You know what pleases God for the child of God? For us to be living in His will. When I'm not living in God's will, God is not pleased with my life. Now that's huge. I want God to be pleased with my life. I want to be living my life in God's will. You know, I grew up in Charleston, South Carolina. Got to marry the one woman that I knew that I knew that I knew was the one God wanted me to marry. Moved to Walterboro, South Carolina, not seeking God in that job, but God had another plan and allowed me to live in a little house right across a field from a small Baptist church where God would call me to preach. And we went from Walterboro to a little town called New Hope outside of Somerville, South Carolina. Stopped and got gas there the other day. It's a huge truck stop in Nextel Corporation or something. Unbelievable, the growth in this area. We went, Pastor in Jedburgh, went to Brevard, North Carolina, and now are here in Wayne County, Tennessee. And every step we've taken, I knew that I knew it was God's plan. And it was God's will. And he knew the plan for me way before I did, as he does for all of us. And as I look back, I see him working in people's lives, using other people to get me where I am today. And so you want to live out the will of God. It is well-pleasing in his sight. Let me show you two more verses and I close. Go to James 4. thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. James chapter 4, verse 13. A lot of you, if you get texts from me, I use this phrase a lot. John 4, 13 says, go to now. Ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and stay there a year, and we will buy and sell, and we're going to make a profit. This is a business guy, and he's saying, okay, I'm going to go to Columbia, Tennessee. I'm going to open a business there for a year. We're going to buy stuff wholesale. We're going to sell it retail, and we're going to make a profit. That's his plan. And then James says, whereas you know not what's going to happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For you ought to say, if the Lord will, we're going to move to another town. We're going to buy and sell, and we're going to make a profit. You see, I'm going to do this tomorrow if it's God's will. And so the whole point is people make plans and they say, God, this is my plan. You bless it. And they make out a year's plan and say, God, this is my plan and you bless it. And next week, these people don't know it, but they're going to die. And that's how futile it is for us to make plans. No, for us to leave God out of our plan. It's all right to make plans, just include God. You ought to make plans, include God. You need to make plans, include God. Put if the Lord will on top of the paper and then write the plans underneath it. And continue to seek God's will in those plans. And God will bless it. I want to show you one more verse. God wants us to live out His will in our life. His plan, His path. And I'm going to tell you something. For me, it is a no-brainer. Go to Psalm 16. Not that I always accomplish, but it's always my goal. There are times I get ahead of God. I panic. There are times, you know what today is? Everybody know what today is? It's Sunday. Today's Sunday. You know what my problem is? A lot of times I'm trying to live out Thursday on Sunday. I'm worried about what's going to happen Thursday, and you know what, Lehman, it's Sunday, and there ain't a thing I can do about what's coming up Thursday. But there's a lot of times I get ahead of God. You know, I'm trying to work out all these things, and I'm ahead of God. But it's a no-brainer to be in God's will or to be in God's plan or walking down the path that God has for you in life. So in Psalm 16 verse 11, look at what the scripture says. The scripture says this, Thou, O God, God, you will show me the path of life. Now, we've been studying that the last hour. God wants to show you His plan for your life. Sometimes it's like a puzzle. But the Holy Spirit's going to bring it all together where you get understanding and you know what choice to make. You know what direction to turn into. But you got to seek Him and you got to spend time with Him. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand, as you're leading me down the path of life, there are pleasures and there are blessings forevermore. Fullness of joy, pleasures, blessings, benefits, goodness, only found in the will of God. Why in the world would anybody want to be outside God's will? Terry, you know, why in the world would anybody want to live their life out of God's will? Well, I'll tell you. They get deceived by the devil. I want you to understand that. Lehman, there are people out there thinking they're living the best life in the world. Yeah, that's A lot of them ain't got up this morning because they were so drunk last night. You know, there are a lot of folks out there in the world, they think they're living the best life in the world, and slowly but surely the devil is destroying them, and eventually he's going to take everything they got. Because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus comes to what? Give you life and give it more abundantly. It's a no-brainer. I want to be in the will of God. And so when I'm praying, your will be done in my life, I'm saying, Lord, I want all the blessings, all the goodness, all the wonderful things that you want to bring into my life. So I'm going to seek what you want for me in this area of my life. I'm not going to say, Lord, this is my plan. You bless it. I'm going to say, you know, it took me a long, long time to learn that, especially for my son. You know, I had my plan for his son from the day he was born. I grew it. I worked it. I coached it. I manipulated it. I made sure he liked what I wanted him to like. I made sure he got involved in what I wanted him to get involved in. And it wasn't until later that I saw how I never trusted Daniel. Never trusted God with Daniel. I wanted him to live my plan for his life. And it was a few years ago I was watching Dan Marino, who was a phenomenal NFL quarterback, being interviewed. And I don't know how many children he has, but he has a whole group of them. And Keith, I know you're a Dolphin fan. And the interviewer was shocked that none of his children went into athletics. Not a one. Quarterback of the Miami Dolphins, not a one. One of his young boys was an accomplished violinist. He had a daughter who was an artist. And he was so proud. So proud of those young people. And I thought about Daniel as I saw it. He was already out of college. If you ask Daniel what he gained out of his 5 years at Bethel, he got redshirted, and all those basketball games, the greatest gift he brought out of Bethel, if you were to ask him on a surface level, his point guard, who was his roommate, taught him how to play the guitar. We're up at Daniel's house the other week, and there are all these country music people that are involved in that, and in Kylie's work, and now in Daniel's work as they handle some of this stuff. And these people were going to sing around an outdoor fire and all that, and there are times people ask Daniel to play the guitar. And he loved it. He hated going to basketball practice, Liz, but he loved playing the guitar. You know, and there are times I've told him, I said, Daniel, I apologize. You know, I never ever asked him what he wanted to do. You know, what you want to do. He goes, oh, Dad, I loved it. Britt had us up at 5 in the morning every morning practicing for 2 hours before we went to class. I loved it. But you know, it was a mistake I made. You know, but I think God knows. We just want what's best, but the bottom line is God knows what's best. So in every area of your life, I want you to join, you know, profit from my mistakes. Come to a place where you pray the prayer of Epaphras, where I want the will of God in every area of my life. And I want the will of God for my loved ones in every area of their life. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes and go to the Lord. And I want you to pray that prayer with me. Lord, your will be done in my life. That's all you got to say. Lord, I'm praying right now, your will be done in my life. And as you're praying that, let the Holy Spirit just speak to you. He's going to bring something to your mind. So as we pray this prayer for a few moments, in the quietness of this moment, would you just say that prayer? Lord Jesus, may your will be done in my life. And see what the Lord says to you.